My name is Reverend Louisa Dyer. I am an interfaith and metaphysical minister and life coach, and my passion has always been spiritual connection, along with sharing what I've learned in this wild and crazy life I've lived about being happier, healthier, and more at peace inside. And so each week on Inner Divinity, we focus on what works, what actually helps, what really matters, so that we can have not only the energy, but the inspiration to begin living in the ways that we've always wanted to live. I know that each and every one of us is a divinely created being, and that divine spark of life, it's alive in each and every one of us. I know that because without it, we wouldn't be living. We would be what we call dead. We wouldn't be breathing, living, walking, talking. And because of that inner spark of life, that God spark, that inner divinity, we have the choice and we also have the power to bring ourselves up. Sometimes we need a little help, but we can rise up out of depression, out of addiction, anger, grief, any suffering that we may have been experiencing, we can come up out of it. I know that because I've done it, and I've watched countless others do it as well. And so I really hope that you join me here every Wednesday from 1 to 3 Eastern, right here on 88.3 FM in Cincinnati, or online at WAIF883.org, as we tap into the power and the beauty and the divine love that actually is animating all forms of life, including yours and mine. There's never really anything that we need to get or gain or even do in order to feel that inner peace or happiness. There's really only stuff that we have to let go of, the stuff that has blocked our awareness of that God energy inside of us. You can call that your higher self, or you can call it Great Spirit, or unconditional love, or divine energy. It doesn't really matter what you call it, but it really does matter if you call on it. Because that divine power that lives in your heart and mine, and in everyone else's, that divine power is actually ours as soon as we claim it. And that's really what this show is all about. And so I really want to thank you for listening. And I'd also like to let you know that if you would like some help with getting in touch with that higher self, that inner spirit inside of you, there is a free guided meditation on my website. There's also a whole lot of free information and other tools on my various websites. And you're invited to check those out if you would like to. And it's just my name, Louisa Dyer, LOUISADYER, louisadyer.com, louisadyer.net, and also thewowprocess.com. Lots of information on there if you want it. There's also a Facebook page for this show by the same name, Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. So if you're on Facebook and you'd like to connect, please do so. I'd love to hear any comments you have about what we've had on the show or what you'd like to see on the show. And I've also been inviting people to share their personal transformational stories, aha moments, anything that's happened that has made you come alive or recognize yourself as the divine being that you are, anything that has really turned your life around for the better. I've discovered over the years that when we hear one another's transformational stories, it wakes us up in a way that just reading an article just doesn't do. And so I invite you to share those stories, and that Facebook page or any of those websites is a way to get in touch with me. And let's see if you would like to be on the radio, either by the phone or come in the station if you're in the area.
myself as the person was, you know, had a knife in my back and was bringing me to my apartment and etc. And I did surrender. I said, if this is my time, I felt like I surrendered to God. And I, by being centered, I was able to just keep talking to the perpetrator so that he became human. Mm. And I even said to him at one point that God loved him too.
Yeah.
It just came out of my mouth.
Yeah.
And then I was able to say, you know, my other roommate's going to come home, so you really should leave or something's going to happen. But it felt like I had touched a part of his soul that was not covered over in darkness. So there was just a little bit that was shining through. And by me being able to be compassionate and centered, like, he felt it.
That is beautiful. That gives me chills all the way up and down.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. For those of you who don't know what a mantra is, it's just a phrase, science, a powerful, repetitious something that you can say over and over that taps you into whatever you experience your divinity as. It shall be in the listening.
That's perfect. Yeah. My mantra is Om Namah Shivaya. Meaning God lives within me, is, you know, that I, divinity is within me.
Right.
You know, so.
Well, and I can imagine that, I mean, anybody I think can imagine that, what a different experience you would have had if you weren't focused on knowing that divinity was within you, and on the compassion and the humanity of this poor last person who was doing what they were doing. Because they gave you the wherewithal to stay present and gave that person a way out.
You know, he actually ended up leaving and walking up the street and went into another apartment lobby, and there was a couple of Columbia University students coming out, and one was a male who fought back, and he got stabbed in the chest and his lung was punctured. So, so I really got that even reinforced that my compassionate, non-violent way was what really saved me.
Right. Oh, you mean the student who fought back is the one who
was? He got stabbed by the perpetrator.
Oh, my gosh.
Who left my apartment and proceeded to go into another building.
Can we talk about validation?
That was validation, yeah.
Wow. So, for a few days, you realized how blessed you were to walk away from it, but because you were trying to hold all that inside of you and other people either couldn't hear about it or didn't want to hear about it, your ego, it sounds like, being a good program.
That ego took hold big time.
It took over
big time.
It was probably telling you all sorts of scary, ridiculous things. And so that's the real question.
Well, I didn't deal with it too well, actually.
Well, honestly, I did, because you knew.
Well, that's true. It's always a process, so.
Yeah.
But I actually left New York City after about a month and came back to Cincinnati.
Uh-huh.
And the experience opened up a whole new can of worms for me.
Uh-huh.
Because I had some issues as a child with sexual abuse.
Oh, you were sexually abused.
Yes. I won't skirt around it.
Well, because that makes it sound like it was your fault.
Yeah.
You had issues. You didn't have issues. You were sexually abused.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I came home to where I was raised, which was in Cincinnati, and it was a, what they call it, you know, it was a dark time for me. It was the dark night of the soul, or people call it different things.
This is like your late 20s.
I was 28.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was for a few years after the assault. And my family wasn't there for me, and I just really had to deal with all these other things showing up with all the emotional and mental stuff that I had to work through and heal from, really. So did you have any ways? Did you know you had been sexually abused before, or did that experience actually just bring this up for the first time? Actually, when I was assaulted, I felt like I had been in that situation before. Like, I knew that it wasn't about the sexual part of it. Mm-hmm. It was about the violence and the power behind any type of sexual assault or abuse or rape.
Right.
And so, yeah, that I hadn't hidden anything, the memories, but because my family is in denial about, you know, the sexual abuse within the family, it was very confusing to me.
Yeah. I think that's what happens to a lot of us, is nobody admits it, so they wind up thinking I must be crazy, right?
Well, basically, they kind of make you feel like you're crazy.
Yeah.
Like, you can't talk about it.
Right.
And you're wrong. And
so how did you begin that healing process? And I just want to let you know, and also let everybody else know, that it's not at all unusual when, the way I think of it is, I often sort of jokingly say, yeah, well, if I don't get it in the universe, that means I'll be able to tip it for somebody I'm not dealing with, then I'll have something happen that I can no longer avoid dealing with it. And usually there's enough time. The process that you're talking about of suddenly feeling overwhelmed with the darkness and the pain and dealing with it, that is really normal. And there's really nothing wrong with that. I personally think that that is a gift that you're given. Because when we notice how bad we feel, then we will, that motivates us to do something about it and begin the healing process. So we could look at that and say, well, it only took me a couple of years. Some of us, it took 20 to feel like that for 20 years before we said, wow, I got to do something different. So in a couple of years, you were tired of feeling the pain, and you started, even though you had that faith, it sounds like that's what saved you.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere along the way, you got the energy or the motivation to actually start some sorts of processes that begin bringing you up out of it.
Yes, definitely. After a few years of feeling pretty contracted and unsafe, which takes a long time because of my situation, it was a gradual process. I mean, it took years. However, it just got better and better. And so for me, yeah, it was basically just getting some help with the group therapy, and through, I continued my practices, spiritual practices.
Mm-hmm.
I eventually moved back to New York City because I felt like I wanted, that's where I wanted to be, and so that was scary, but I took it on and felt empowered by that.
Mm-hmm.
And put my boots on and took to the streets of New York again.
Got back on the horse.
Exactly. Got back on the horse. And just started to heal from the family stuff. And, you know, I believe it was all in waves. Because, really, it was only this year, actually, last April, when I was in New York City for a women's conference through the Omega Institute, Brené Brown, who's a leading expert on shame, was there speaking, and I knew at the end of the conference that it was time to tell my story. And so I spent all summer writing about my stuff at Women Writing for a Change, and then with the help of a coach who helped me write some monologue pieces. It wasn't until I really started doing that that I also, unfortunately, but fortunately for me, I knew that I couldn't be a part of my family system anymore. So, because they're still, it's gone into the next generation. And no one wants to deal with it.
That's a hard place.
And I can't be there anymore.
Right.
Because it, to me, it's just making me non-existent. and so I don't choose to be a part of that anymore. But it's great because I feel free, and probably the freest I've ever been in my life. And I just feel like I'm beginning to just be a flame, you know.
She's burning up the studio.
Ah, watch out! Here she comes. This happened in my 20s, and you said last year they started learning about it, and it opened up a whole new world of healing. How many years has that been?
Well,
I don't know.
Oh, no, I'm 55, so 20, yeah,
30.
30 years.
Close
to 30 years.
Mm.
And so it's definitely a process.
Mm. And I love the piece that you said in one of your talk about a little bit more about it just gets better and better.
It just gets better and better. You know, I think I described it in my writing as trying to get across the Grand Canyon, getting across this huge gap from where I was before the assault and then after the assault.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't really use that analogy because I'm not the same as I was before the assault. It's better because I've aged. And it's just so, I believe that when challenges happen in your life, like you said at the beginning, I'm in total agreement that challenges are what make, the challenges are what made me who I am today.
Mm-hmm.
And I call myself a warrior woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I wear my scars with pride.
Mm-hmm.
Because my scars are part of who I am.
Right.
They make me who I am. And I'm not going to hide them.
Right.
I'm not ashamed of them. They have really been an opportunity to make me resilient and to grow.
Right.
And I really believe we're here on planet Earth to grow up, to evolve spiritually. That is what I believe.
Right. Well, it's been my share, obviously.
Oh, great.
I don't see any other reason to go through all this hell.
You know, I believe that when you go through things like this, and I have worked a lot with people as a therapist, and now more recently as a life coach, that when we go through things that are horrific or we feel are tragic, it's human nature to question why. And I finally, after struggling with that needlessly, but I did, I realized that it's not what happens to us, it's how we deal with it.
Right.
That's really all that matters.
Yep, it is. You know, one of the things I've said for years, and I have a few clients who just start spilling when I say it because I've said it so many times. I say that why is an endless, fruitless question that leads all up to hell. Because there's never an answer. The only answer to why ever is because, well, and then why? Well, because, and then why? Because it's endless, fruitless, and leads to hell. The real question is always, what? What is going on, and what do I want to do about it? And how am I going to deal with this? Because there are answers to what and how. There are never any answers to why. But you're right, it is totally human nature to get into that ego place of why me? Why did this happen? What did I do to make this? It's like we want to blame something or someone. And I think that's where the why question is coming out of. Then we can get to the point where you did, where you said, wait a minute, I'm sick of this. I'm going to grow instead, lay down and die. We get our power back and we stop asking why. And we start saying, what can I do to help myself? And that makes all the difference.
Exactly. And it's also really, my challenges have also really helped me to grow spiritually, because I guess for me, I've always had faith, even though it got dimmed a lot for a few years. But my faith is what helped me to move forward, because I don't know the big picture. And because I did have faith in God, I would just say to God, I don't know what this is all about,
right.
And it sucks.
Right.
I'm not going to lie.
Right.
I mean, I had my feelings about relationship with God is like any relationship. It just, if I nurture it, it grows and deepens. So I've matured and grown. So my faith has grown. I feel that before the assault, I was much more into my spiritual self rather than, I was not healthy emotionally or mentally.
Yeah.
And so I was living pretty much from that spiritual place. And it was great. It felt great. Especially living in New York City, I got to really enjoy it. And but so I wasn't grounded. And so, thank you. Yeah, I became more grounded. I've become a lot more grounded in my faith. And it's like I brought my spirituality down to earth.
That's a beautiful way to say it. You know, that's one of the biggest reasons I do this show, because I think it's so easy to get lost in intellectualizing and conceptualizing and the medical area thing. I don't know. And I'm a Capricorn, of Taurus rising. It's like, if you don't go for it, it's good. It has to work. You have to ground it. And what's the point? And I would invite everybody who's listening to consider what that means to you, to have your faith be grounded. And if yours is or not, and if they're not, what do you need? What do you want? What will make that true? And if it is, you might want to think about showing why you did that on the radio so other people can know. I am only answering practical ways to lead happier, healthier, more peaceful lives, to really help each and every one of us reclaim that vitality that comes from living our deepest truth. And so that's always been my passion, is personal spiritual growth. So that's what my intention here every week is, to share very practical tools for how you can make that journey for yourself. Because we feel more alive. And, you know, for a long time now, I've said, I think survival is highly overrated. If I can't thrive, then I don't want to be here anymore. So fortunately, I've learned a lot about thriving, and I feel really good about being here. We are talking with Pat Moyer today, who is telling us about her spiritual journey. And what she has told us thus far is that, in large part, it is her faith that has moved her through, and that the big change she experienced from this, what most people would call horrific, tragic experience, actually woke her up and had her doing a lot of healing work that she never would have done without that, but it has certainly deepened her path and her faith. And so we're going to go back to that conversation with Pat, and we'll put it back on now, and just ask you, she said earlier about that grounded faith, like we were talking about before the break.
Yeah, it sounds, there's just a sweetness to that groundedness that I don't think that I had when I was not grounded. And it's sweet because I'm able to connect more with people here, and I get a greater sense of belonging. Yeah, and it's definitely deepened my compassion.
Yeah.
You know, especially for people who are suffering in silence.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big one for me because of my own, I guess, pretty much self-imposed prison for many years.
Well, yeah, because anything that we've done ourselves, it's easier for us to relate and to help when somebody else is doing the same thing. We can see the way out.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So now that I'm stepping outside of that prison and thriving, that's a big message that I want to share, you know, like that, just because, for my own healing, but really for other people as well.
So feel free to talk about that message a little bit.
they're the same. They're same even for someone who hasn't been through that.
Right.
And so with shame, we often shut ourselves down because we feel it's too scary to let ourselves talk about it because we're afraid people would judge us.
Right. Well, that's really the catch-22 of shame, is that I feel so bad about myself, there's no way I'm going to give you a chance to feel bad about myself. So I'm lying, pretend, and do whatever I have to avoid your judgments, because maybe if I avoid your judgments, I won't feel my own so bad.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, is there something specific that you have done to sort of get to the root of that shame and begin raising yourself up out of that world and energy field?
Yes. What the first is breaking through the shame by exposing myself and talking about the things that I've been through.
Breaking the silence.
Breaking the silence.
Yeah.
Because the only way that we can break through the shame is to expose ourselves.
Yeah.
To someone or a group of people who will have empathy for us.
Yeah. I think that is a very important point. You only want to do that in a place where it's safe to do it.
Otherwise, you're just going to be re-victimized again, and, you know, you're going to withdraw again. So that's really important to make sure that you find someone that you trust. And it could be a friend, it could be a therapist, and, you know, even with therapists, you need to make sure you feel comfortable with them.
Right.
A pastor, you know, whoever. That you really feel like you can trust them.
There are also some 12-step groups that deal with the kind of abuse. Did you participate in any of those?
You know, I did, actually. For a couple of years, I participated, or I went weekly to a Codependence Anonymous group. So that really helped me a lot. Helped me to, because of the way the 12 steps are set up, I was able to eventually share a little bit about myself, and it took a long time, so I didn't have to share if I didn't want to. So that's what's great about 12-step groups. So also, yeah, so I talked about the Codependence Anonymous group, yeah, and so that really helped me a lot.
So you were talking about Codependence Anonymous, and for anybody who doesn't know, the 12-step program has millions of people worldwide, and it doesn't matter what the has been, or the addiction has been, whether it was a substance or a process. Those 12 steps are based on faith, and they're based on surrender, and they're based on taking personal responsibility and empowering yourself. So it doesn't matter what the problem was. Those groups, because they have no political affiliations, and because they are based on faith, are incredibly empowering for most people who participate in them, even if you hate them, like I did.
And myself as well. Although I didn't after a while. But, you know, it was hard at first to go to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how did it, I guess what I'm wanting to say is, if you have any idea of it, is sort of a, how that healing process seemed to you. Like, here you are going, you know, what I would call the pits of hell. So you started somehow working up.
Step by step, yeah. It was going to a 12-step group for a couple of years,
mm-hmm.
regularly, seeing a couple of different therapists. One actually did EMDR, which is to help desensitize the trauma, because I had been traumatized,
right.
And that was what really kept me feeling like I was in my own prison for many years. So that helped. Didn't completely heal me, but I did my spiritual practices, but I also took a lot of human potential type seminars and work. And people have probably heard of Landmark Forum,
mm-hmm.
or Landmark Education. I did that twice, once in New York City and once when I lived in Cincinnati. I took all the seminars.
Mm-hmm.
And then, really, like 7 years ago, I took something similar that was based out of California called Clemmer and Associates. So that work was really, really helpful for me to move forward. However, there was always that piece where I was still stuck in my story of victim. You know, it was hard to break out of that. What was that key? I wanted to keep going. Yeah, that was definitely, my ego did not want to let go of that story. And I was brave. I had a couple seminar leaders just really get at it with me. Like, it was okay, though. I was glad they did, but it was a little frustrating that I didn't know how to break out of that.
Right.
But just the year I have.
Okay. Can you say how you did that?
Yes. I believe that really how I got out of that was, I don't know, it just happened. It just, I know that the audience is probably thinking, well, that's not helpful. But I got to a tipping point in June of last year after I had started writing. It was something with my family, and I was just on the phone and going, they don't know me at all. And they're not bad people. I forgive them, but I just knew that I couldn't be a part of that anymore. And at the same time, I wasn't a victim anymore, that I had choices here. So I really was able to stand more in my power.
That's great.
Yeah, so it was exciting.
I bet. Well, you know, the ego, I think, and the pain body, if you really read Eckhart Tolle, has to have the juice of feeling like a victim to really keep itself going. That's energizing for the ego and the pain body. For the intolerance to show, you know, that I would typically talk about it. And that process of recognizing that not only does my pain, but also my happiness live inside of me. It doesn't live outside of me. It's like I'm in charge of my fear, I'm in charge of my pain, I'm in charge of my happiness. If we actually evoke that, we are empowered. But the ego has a hard time letting us do that because the only way we can do that is to surrender, which is the last thing the ego is going to do. Because I don't think of the ego as the enemy by any means. I think the ego is what has brought humanity to where we are now. And I use it every day and I love it and I appreciate it. But it's the difference between having a mind and being controlled by the mind. It's like the mind is a wonderful thing to have, but it makes a hard master. And so that's kind of how I think of the ego. And what I keep hearing and coming up to, and I don't think we have words for it in our culture, is what makes the difference is surrender. But how do you do that? And I think the reason we can't talk about it any more than we can is because it's sort of like grace. Because all we can do is be willing to surrender. And then if it happens or not, it's a function of grace. And so it's not all up to us. It's only the willingness to do it. That's up to us. And then if we are willing, and we do whatever it is we need to do, which it sounds like you certainly did, and you just kept doing it and doing it and doing it until you proved it, or whatever, that willingness to surrender allows surrender to happen. But we're not actually in charge of the surrender. I think that's why it's hard to talk about. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that really makes a lot of sense, and I appreciate that because I believe you're right. When I had been around Guramani in the 80s, I was around her in physical form for a few years, and I know I surrendered a couple times around her, and things happened for me. But it was a little more difficult to see recently how I surrendered, probably because it was it would show up as surrendering at different times, not in such a dramatic way. And so I did. I see how I did surrender. And I just said, I can't do this anymore. I can't live in a prison anymore in my life. I'm at that tipping point where I want something bigger than myself vulnerable, you know, will I live, and B, will I be loved?
Mm.
That's the biggest.
And will it really hurt?
Yeah, yeah, like, my God is a good God, and my God is a glorious God, so I, rationally, I know that if I surrender, it'll be wonderful, because I'm getting out of my own way.
Right.
However, emotionally, I still, because of what I've been through, I believe I do get very, very afraid.
Yeah.
And it's hard to trust sometimes.
Yeah.
A lot of times.
Yeah. You know, I've been to heaven and heaven back many times in this lifetime. And the one thing I know is that there is a big difference to me. It's been shaken a few times, but it's always there. Faith, to me, is a decision, and it's a knowing. And thank God I can have faith, because trust is learned. Trust is a very, very different thing. And many, many, many times, I don't trust nothing and nobody for nothing, including myself. But because I have faith, and because I have knowing, of how that faith has held me, which it sounds like you do too, I can surrender because of the faith. And I'm saying that because I think so many times we keep ourselves stuck because we want to wait until we trust. And I'm sorry, we're not going to trust until after we surrender. That's been my experience.
Mm, so very true.
But we can surrender because of the faith. And you said that you have always had a connection with God and you always had faith. And I'm wondering why it was in your childhood that gave you that sense of faith that has actually been your buffer all this time.
You know, I think I really believe that we come into this life a certain way, and I just believe that I came in evolved spiritually, and I don't mean that from an egoistic view. I just believe, I do believe in reincarnation.
Right.
And so I do believe that some of us, a lot of us and some of us not, come in more evolved. And therefore, I could handle the challenges.
Right.
Because as a child, it's not like anything particular happened that I would, when I had challenges as a young child.
Right.
I was highly sensitive. I write books about that. It just, so I don't know. I mean,
there's not anything in particular that took place.
No.
Faith in.
No.
Wow. And so it just has always been a part of your
beingness. Yeah, it's always been a part.
That's great.
Very much so.
That's a real blessing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think some people have these things happen in life that make them become very faithful, and that's awesome too.
Right.
So I just think we all have our own ways.
Right. That's wonderful. So it sounds like the process, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I want to hear your thoughts about this. It sounds to me like the process you went through last summer when you spent all this time writing and really breaking the silence and really just putting it out there, you went from faith to trust.
Oh, yeah. I became more grounded and on planet Earth, for sure, because I was being real about who I was.
Uh-huh. So something shifted, and you trusted yourself, or life, or people, or something.
Yeah, that's true, because when I was at that conference, I had that knowingness that I needed to tell my story.
Uh-huh.
And I always knew I was going to do that. And it was just showing, it was just something I always, I guess because of what I went through, I never really understood what my purpose was.
Right.
And I didn't have children, and I didn't, you know, do these fantastic things, loosen my own mind.
It was just
like, whatever. Right. So, I always felt like I didn't know what my purpose was.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a part of me that knew that I would probably, the pieces would fit together eventually, and I would tell my story.
Uh-huh.
So that kind of gave me a sense of purpose.
Uh-huh.
And so we said, okay, now's the time.
Right.
It was just felt natural.
Right.
And it, you know, it didn't feel, I knew that I would be healing by doing it, but I felt like it need, it's ripe right now in our culture, in our world, to start to really share things that are difficult to talk about.
Right.
And, you know, so I felt like that was what I needed to do.
Right. You know, it's interesting when you hear you say that, because you're a therapist, you've been a therapist, you're a coach, and that's been in your life. You're just having people actually talk about and share stuff that's difficult. And so you know from both sides of the couch, as I like to say.
Right. Right.
You know from both sides of the couch the power of getting real and coming right up front with whatever it is, because you know, it's only when we admit we got it that we can let it go, and it's only when we tell the truth that we can move forward. And so you've gotten to what button? That's not a word. You have got
you have witnessed that.
I mean, the college didn't want to talk like that, but you have witnessed that over and over and over and over, probably with almost every client you've ever worked with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like somewhere along the way, it clicked, and you got it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder how that's affected your work with other people, and if you want to talk a little bit about your work with others.
Sure. You know, actually, there's a feminist method in therapy that is disclosing, as a therapist, disclosing a bit about yourself if you feel like it's going to help the client.
Mm-hmm.
And so over the years, I've actually many times shared with men and women who have disclosed that they've been sexually abused or raped that I understood because I also had been through that.
Right.
It really helps the client just to feel like I get it.
Right.
And it also offers them hope. So I had been doing that for many years.
Right.
And I used to volunteer also as a rape crisis advocate. And, you know, so at times I would even chat with the women who were in crisis where they had been raped just that night.
Right.
So it's very helpful.
Yeah, I agree.
So, but I guess I felt last year that it was on a bigger scale.
Mm-hmm.
That it's one thing to share in the safety of a room with someone. It's a whole lot different to share about sexual abuse to the public.
Right.
Because people feel uncomfortable around it.
Right.
And people don't know what to say. And it brings up a lot of discomfort.
Right.
So that's the difference. But, it, you know, it's been such a blessing for me to have my work.
Right.
Because it's just really helped me to heal others as well as heal myself. And I hesitant to share that because some people might be thinking, does she like talk about herself in therapy? No, it's not about that.
Right. Well, I think that personally, most really good focus counselors, therapists understand that now.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can, because I saw that for you, I was doing it for 20 years, I had all kinds of abuse as a child, and I thought, I share these kinds of things because people go, wow, there's a way out. I'm like, yeah, you can walk down that line and walk right out and tell them what
you
want.
That transparency that is so important.
Yeah.
And I think that with my coaching skills, I really, the more I get into coaching, the more the healing aspect's really important, but, you know, revealing ourselves and, you know, in order to move forward, we have to know that it's okay and that other people have moved forward.
Right. So we are just about out of time here. Anna, thank you so much for coming in today. This
is my pleasure. Thank you.
This has really gone by fast, and I think it's been really, really helpful. I really appreciate the transparency. I love that word.
Me too.
And the energy. Because, you know,
intimate with yourself. That's been a really big lesson for me, that it takes time, you know, to process and to remember that, and that to remember the progress you have made, and that if you can find someone or some way to start talking about your story,
even if it's journaling,
which is a great way to express yourself, to do that, because it can really help break through any shame that you have around your issue or issues.
Right.
And that would probably be what I would say.
Yeah, I think that's really, really, really helpful. Because if we can be compassionate, that's just another word for love. If we can accept who we are, that's just another word for love. And love is the power. It's not mushy, we emphasize telling that stuff I'm talking about. Love is the power in my mind that runs the universe. And every time we're in that state of acceptance or compassion or appreciation for that matter, we are bringing that power of love into whatever it is we're doing. And I believe that is actually where the grace of forgiveness, the grace of faith, the grace of forgiving, the grace of healing comes. That power that is love. And that's why what I hear when you tell your story is that you loved yourself enough to walk the walk.
It's all about loving ourselves. And I tell people it sounds corny, but it's the truth. You have to love yourself first. And it radiates out.
Right.
And so, you know, all those qualities we need to give to ourselves first, like compassion and forgiveness and patience.
Right. Yeah, patience.
Oh, yes, boy.
That's a big one. Well, thank you again.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I really had a good time today. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. Thank you. I'm going to put on some music here. I give Pat a big hug goodbye. I am going to play a CD by Peter Sterling. It's called Patterns of Reflection. And I think you're probably going to really enjoy this music. It is electric harp and violin and sax. It's really quite interesting. So I hope you enjoy this little bit of music, and I'll be back with you in just a moment. Is that it doesn't matter what we go through, it doesn't matter what happens to us,
Of life itself, that we think of as has to have something amazing on the show that will help us lead happier and healthier, more peaceful lives. Because what happened to that God, that divine energy, that universal flow that lives in our hearts when we claim that birthright? It wakes us up, and it makes us happier and healthier and more at peace. There is a Facebook page for the show, and I would love to hear your comments about what you'd like to hear on the show. I would also love to hear from people who want to share their own journey about how they healed, or their spiritual journey, about how they've grown, aha moments. Every time we share our stories, we inspire other people. And so I really want to encourage you and invite you to share your story on this radio show. We can do that by phone if you're not in the area, and if you are, you can come into the station. And the best way to get a hold of me is through that Facebook page for Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. And interact on that page and let me know what you would like to hear, as well as you can get in touch with me. You can also get in touch with me through any of my websites if you would like some help in connecting in with your own divine self, your own higher self, or true self, or inner divinity. There is a guided meditation that you can download for free on my website that will help you get in touch with your higher self from inside yourself. It will also help you get grounded enough and present enough in your body so that you can tap into what's actually going on inside your heart. And that's always love. That's always, always love. I'll see you back here next week. This is Beth Rivera, telling you the truth about God. Enjoy.